Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
This is a podcast from The Bugle.
April is the cruelest month, breeding lilacs out of the dead land, mixing memory and desire, stirring dull roots with spring rain. Winter kept us warm, covering earth in forgetful snow, feeding a little life with dried tubers. Summer surprised us coming over the Starnberger See with a shower of rain. We stopped in the colonnade and went on in sunlight into the Hofgarten and listened to The Gargle, the glossy magazine to The Bugle's audio newspaper for a digital world. This is The Gargle. I am your host, Alice Fraser, and your guest editors for this week's edition of the magazine are Alison Spittle and Tiff Stevenson. Welcome.
Hello.
Very happy to be here.
In the garden.
Yeah, I was really getting into that.
I figured with this couple, we should start classy.
And watch it go downhill very fast.
I don't know if you know, but in what I laughingly call our fan base, the combination of Alison Spittle and Tim Stevenson is renowned for...
Filth, are you going to say filth?
Yeah. Yes. I was going to say filth. We will get dirty together in the mud bucket that is this week's top stories, but first let's have a look at the front page. The front cover this week is Mario of Mario Brothers fame entering his pretentious artist on a podcast phase acting choices. He's in a turtleneck and beret, clutching his forehead going, "It's a me, Mario, or is it?" The satirical cartoon this week is an image of Elon Musk telling the BBC that owning Twitter has been quite emotionally painful, blown up on a wall in front of a party of anti-capitalist meme artists with the hanging banner, "Mission accomplished." And our top story this week is BTSD news. Bee scientists have discovered evidence that suggests the insects have emotions, dreams, and even PTSD, raising complex ethical questions about how far you can emotionally push a bee. Alison Spittle, you've bumbled in the past. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yeah, this was an exciting story. So basically, this guy has been studying bees for ages, for decades. And the size of a bee's brain is about the size of a poppy seed. So before, we didn't know much about bees. But apparently, the more he's studied it, the more kinder he's been to bees, because he realizes that bees have emotions. Bees get stressed. And I always thought that was the case. Bees seem like the most stressed of all animals. I mean, on a scale of sloth to bee, bee is at the top. Sloth is having a great time. And he's trying to become a bit more kinder to bees, because bees are used in the agricultural industry, and they're treated quite badly. So almonds are produced in California. Normally, you'd need a lot of pollination for almonds to grow at the rate that you need them to grow to sustain the demand that they have. And normally, there would be flowers at the bottom of these almond plants, and the bees would kind of crisscross between the two and pollinate and go back. But now, because of the agricultural industry, it's just plastic underneath the trees, so the almonds are dropped on the plastic, and it's just a harder job for the bee. So this dude has been very, very nice. And it's suggesting that we're a bit kinder to bees. And it just never, it never occurred to me that insects have personalities, and it's now made me more afraid of wasps. Because before, with wasps, I thought they were not evil, just doing what they do. But now I have a childhood memory of a wasp stinging me under my eye, and I remember looking at him, like his little arse going up, and I knew the pain was going to be into my eye. And now I remember it with a frisson of like emotional PTSD as well. Because I thought as a kid it was laughing at me, and now I know it definitely was laughing at me.
Wasps are Tories with a thorax.
Yes, they are. Very much so. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Part of the evidence they're using for this is these mass bee die-offs, which they believe now are a result of stress, not just environmental stress, but emotional stress for the bees, coming from things like mobile phone signals, coming from things like pesticides and agricultural changes, where the things that they're normally used to eating and pollinating are getting mixed up on them. So I just imagine being that much of a drama queen, where you're like, where's my dinner? It's not where it used to be. Just a mass die-off.
It is quite the statement, isn't it, as a species, to go like, you know what, we're all going to die off and see how you are then, because we do rely on bees for our life. And there's drama, and then there's threatening the whole ecosystem, which bees do.
Harden up, bees. Harden up.
Harden up.
So what the research suggested is bees, they listen, they recognise you, they recognise faces. They take on most of the domestic labour, pollinating a third of the world's food with no thanks from us. So bees are women. That's what I'm hearing. Bees are women. That, and then just more and more evidence, right? So this lab set out to determine if bees could learn to avoid predators as an adaptive response, and they put a robotic crab spider.
What, are they female comedians? Sorry.
Yeah. They put this spider in. And in flowers, and then they grabbed a bee, and then they released it unharmed. This is very traumatic. And then after that negative experience, the bees learned to scan the laboratory's flowers to make sure they were spider-free. The bees not only showed predator avoidance, they also showed false alarm behaviour. Like, why are you stressing the bees out? The bees are women. You're going to have them flying around with keys between their mandibles. Like, the more I understand that bees are women. And it just, they also, like, shop around for their food as well, which is fascinating. They get choice paralysis like us. They, like, try and look at all the flowers and then decide what the best one is.
It's a risky ethical business being a scientist who's trying to discover if something's sentient, because you do an experiment and then the result of the experiment is that the experiment was unethical to do.
Yes.
Ooh, I've just proven that I've been being an asshole for years.
I've always suspected it was stressful to be a bee, though. Like, imagine you're in your house and then a man in a mask just pulls you out with a glove, like half of your house with a glove, and put smoke inside of you. Like, I've always fed bees. If I saw an exhausted bee, have you ever seen an exhausted bee?
Yes.
But this is why I think it's stressful to be a bee, because they're so big and round and their little wings are so teeny. It must be just like the toddlers of the sky. You're like, you shouldn't be being holding up right now. You don't seem like this. The physics is on your side, but somehow they stay up.
Now when I feed it like a little teaspoon of sugary water, I'm not just doing it for energy. There's also that emotional kind of thing. You know, when you're stressed and you eat chocolates. Like, I'm just letting the bee stress eat now, you know, to survive.
The bees are premenstrual.
The bees are premenstrual, yeah.
Put it down with a box set of Buffy and give it all the chocolate that it needs. Yeah, all the sugary water. I have to say, I'm always kind to bees. Like, he was like, I try and trap a bee and then let it go. And I'm like, who's out here killing bees? I'm not swatting a bee. I have taken out a wasp, but I'm not going to lie. I've taken out wasps.
I always assess the arse size of an insect. You know, a big arse is a bee and a small arse is a wasp, and they are getting a swat. If you've got a small arse, you're getting a swat off me. Sorry.
They're going to be wasps getting Brazilian butt lifts just so they can avoid getting taken out by Alison.
You mean the BBL? your ad section now. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by Frogs. Frogs, the wettest mouse. And make your own frog at home with an at-home frog kit. We provide the mouse and the cup. You supply half a glass of water. And we all know the more nude you are, the less nude you feel, bringing you just socks. That's right, fully nude, just socks. The way to make nakedness feel even more naked.
That is true.
Oh, wow. Is that sponsored by Red Hot Chili Peppers?
And I just want for my child what everyone wants for their child, which is to do so well in life that they get dogpiled on the internet for being a Nepo baby. And that's why I choose QuackBooks when I'm doing my accounting. Unlike its competitor QuickBooks, QuackBooks isn't an efficient cloud-based accounting solution trusted by 7,000-plus accounting practices. Instead, it's a spreadsheet run by a duck. QuackBooks. It worked for FTX.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Now it's when plants cry news. Apparently plants scream when they want you to water them. I assume it sounds a little bit like when I want someone to give me a drink, which is but apparently humans can't hear them. So Tiff, you've met a leaf. Can you unpack this story for us?
Yes, apparently they make high-pitched sounds when they are thirsty, similar to popping. And I just think, great. Plants make sounds, do they? How long before they start their own podcast? We all know that's coming. You know, 15 hours of yucca content on YouTube where they smoke cigars and discuss UFC. actually, scratch that. It's too high pitch for humans to hear, so it would be a female podcast.
I've paired these stories in my head now, so I'm thinking of like quite emotionally traumatized bees being screamed at by plants that need.
Yeah,
it's a really emotional landscape now.
It's made me upset because we had a houseplant and we did not water it enough, and I just think now. That's another layer of stress that I don't want to think about it. Like, if I want something that's screaming at me for months at a time whilst everyone around me admires it, I'm going to have a baby. Like, why have a plant? I already feel like I'm failing in so many areas. Now I feel like my plants are judging me as well. This is just another stress I don't need, Alice.
It makes me feel extra guilty because sometimes when I'm angry, I know, like, King Charles. Oh, I forgot my manners there. King Charles, he speaks to plants and apparently encourages them to grow, and it helps. And I have been speaking very derogatory, like, very horrible to my plants when I'm in a bad mood. And they are dead. They are behind me. But that's due to, like, definite bad practice of watering rather than me saying, oh, you think you look so special. I'm quite emotionally abusive to my plants, and now I feel guilty.
Have you been roasting your succulents?
I have, yes, both psychologically and actually by not feeding them water. Succulents are supposed to be hardy, but I keep destroying them. I don't know how I do it. I really do want these plants to live, but I'm having a very hard time at the moment. I've probably told you this before. I've tried to grow potatoes on my balcony, and last year... the crop didn't come to harvest, and you know, I'm Irish and we've learned about the potato famine and other kind of genocidal practices of the British Empire. I know you should look it up, but...
But pause this podcast and
quick Wikipedia and I pulled out the potatoes and they went to mush in my hands, and genuinely I felt very attached to my own history. I was like, this famine was so inconvenient, as well as a thing that killed a lot of people, but I felt emotionally very attached to it.
I mean, on your balcony was the first mistake, because you don't know this, but new research has come out that potatoes are afraid of heights.
But I also, they don't like emotional abuse, evidently.
The potatoes actually enjoy being roasted.
Yeah. Hey. What do you think of, like, it said they make popping sounds, which that the human ear can't hear. And I'm thinking, are Rice Krispies trying to communicate with us? Like, what are they saying? What,
Rice Krispies and plants are talking about us behind our backs.
They're absolutely roasting us. They're like those humans. Stressing out the bees.
Yeah, and extra worse if you put almond milk in your Rice Krispies.
Oh, that, yeah, that's ecocide.
The tears of a bee.
Yeah.
Trifecta of evil.
Now it's time for your reviews. As you know, each week we ask our guest editors to bring in something out of five stars to review. Tiff Stevenson, what have you brought in for us to review this week?
Oxford. Oh, look. Yeah, I like it as a place. It's got castles, it's got libraries, it's got museum, it's got museums, plural. It's got a bridge of size. It's got a bridge of size. But what it doesn't have is enough people who want to come to my tour show.
What?
And it's annoying because I fancy myself as scholarly and interesting, but I am competing with a lot of cool shit.
Every bridge is a bridge of size if you're sad enough on a bridge. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'll put some steps on the stage and I'll just sigh.
Yes.
And then we can replicate that during my show. And so I just, do you know what it is? It's Cambridge. A lot of people in Cambridge are coming to my show. Cambridge seemed keener. Mm. So I guess what I'm saying is, Oxford, are you going to let Cambridge beat you again? Consider this your boat race. Consider this your university challenge. Oxford, the place, 3 stars. Try harder, please.
What I'm going to review this week is a serious review. Well, as in, I'm not putting batteries in my mouth. It was actually a thing that I watched and I was like, I actually want to recommend it to the Gargle listeners. And it's a film called Asbestos or The Beasts. And it's a French and Spanish film. And Galician, I think, is the language as well.
Galician.
It was the best film I've seen in ages. It's very, if you've grown up in a rural environment, it's the most Irish film that's never been made. It's about two people that move to a village. They're into farming and or the organic way of farming, and they're not into wind farms. The village are going to get a wind farm, but they need them to sign off on it. And it's about bullying. It's an amazing film. And it's on in cinemas. Well, I saw it this weekend. So I think it'll probably be in cinemas for a weekend or two. And then it'll probably be somewhere online. But I fully recommend watching it. It's amazing. 5 stars. It's so good. It's got like there's a French couple in it and they love each other. And the man isn't having an affair, which is refreshing in a French film. It has it all. It really does.
Well, I would like to review this week. I would like to review reviews because I'm at the Melbourne International Comedy Festival at the moment and people's reviews are coming out and everyone's miserable about their reviews. I quite like a review. I occasionally like a review. I quite like reading a bad review of an act I like because it reminds me that reviewers are just f***heads with an opinion. And if I don't agree with them, then I feel less bad when I read a bad review of myself. Reviews. Mm. 3.5. 3.5 stars.
Reads like a 4?
Reads like a 2.5. Now it's time for Shit Creek News, and this is the news that every river in the UK is undrinkably unpleasant. This is an announcement made by David Attenborough in a recent programme that was aired in the UK, basically chronicling the degradation of your waterways. Alison Spittle, I've seen you drink unusual things. Can you unpack this story for us?
So this is a long-running story. The way it came to prominence for me was I followed the former lead singer of The Undertones and solo singer of A Good Heart, these days is hard to find, Fergal Sharkey, which I think Sharkey is a great name for someone who is trying to protect Britain's waterways. But Britain's waterways, because companies are privatised, it's more profitable for companies to take a fine for dumping raw sewage into rivers, lakes and the sea. And they've been doing it for a while because capitalism, that now, you know, places are unbathable. There's places where it's bad to swim. I'll give you an example. I went to Kent with my friend to eat oysters because she loves oysters. And we went to Whitstable, had an amazing time. I said, and one of my favourite things to do is when I go to a place, I like to look up the local news. And I forgot to do that on the way there, but I thought I'll do it on the way back. And it said, massive warnings, do not eat food from the sea because raw sewage has been put out there. So it's just, do you know what it is? It's Britain around and finding out once again, but this time with rivers and seas and lakes.
Tiff?
Yeah, I think it was something like they were saying that water companies have released raw sewage into the rivers and seas for more than 1.75 million hours last year, just slightly short of the amount of shit that Boris Johnson's mouth released during his meeting with the Privileges Committee.
Ring the politics bell, Tiff.
Well, I hate to break it to you, Alice, but you've picked a story that has MPs quoted throughout it thoroughly because this is a political story, isn't it? You know, 185 sewage spills into the waterways per day. Well, and that is down 19% on the previous year. Woohoo! Less shit. Is this now a good news story? You know, swim our rivers and lakes now with 19% less fecal matter. Get it on Visit Britain. I don't know what we're supposed to... You know, it's just bleak, isn't it?
Yep. Are we spinning skin-melting badness as exfoliating treatment now? Is that...
Yeah, well, imagine if shit was bath bombs and they were releasing that amount of bath bombs into the sea and lakes. You mean, like, that's too many bath bombs, man. It's overwhelming. It's very lavendery. I'm a bit irritated. But they're doing that with actual human shit.
Do you often imagine your shit is bath bombs, Alison?
Well, it does emit, you know what I mean? It does.
Fizzes. Yeah. Rose petals drift out of it.
Yeah. Some poor student in Lush had to sell it to me. You know, they're like, this is your own shit.
If you bring the tub back, we will give you a 20% discount on your next purchase.
What, Gillian McKee? Yeah. Is this like shitting in a lunchbox and then... it's disgusting, and it makes me very mad. But if you're disgusted by this as a listener, just think about what's in the rivers and the seas and the lakes.
I feel like they gave a lot of stats in the article, but I feel like it would have been better served by Zaltzman doing them like cricket stats. You know, Blackpool Sands in Devon had sewage spills over a total of 1,014 hours, beating out Torquay, who faced 79 instances of sewage dumping, lasting for 946 hours. You know, you just need to put something about the crease in there and runs, and it would be cricket stats.
I mean, it's not great for Torquay either. Why are they going to put on their sign? Slightly less shit than other places. You know? It's still shit.
Brighton, not as bad as Torquay.
Marginally statistically less likely to swim into a whole human turd.
I know.
Face first.
I'm just imagining a really horrible version of The Little Mermaid where she's just surrounded by shits. All the fish have died and it's just her trying and a couple of turds. Under the sea, everything's bitter. Down where it's shitter, take it from me.
She has to kiss a turd in order to be able to sing.
Yeah, and she wears like a load of discarded face wipes as like a bridal veil. This is a horrible shitty wedding.
Beautiful spirals of microplastics rising up around her.
While a fatberg just goes towards her.
That's the wedding cake.
I don't know what this ocean pollution is going to do for our idioms. Isn't one of the euphemisms for going to do a poo dropping a couple of kids off at the pool? Now it's going to be just, sorry, I'm dropping a couple of kids off in the feces ocean. Like,
you'll be like, if you're having a particularly bad crap, you'd be like, oh, I'm just doing a southern water onto the natural lakes, you know, of the toilet bowl. And also, maybe it'll change, like, if you're looking for someone to date again after breaking up with someone, someone can reassure you by going, oh, there's plenty of shits. Like, there's plenty of shits.
Plentyofshits.com. Sign up now.
Yeah. And unlike with fish, where it's getting depressingly less true, this is getting more true. So helpful.
Yeah.
If you believe in homeopathy, the less clean water there is, the more clean water there is. So that's nice.
That's true. Maybe that's what these water companies are doing. They're actually doing us a favour. Yeah.
The more you dilute the clean water with shit, the more powerful it becomes.
I tell you, water fights are going to be a lot more dangerous now. Someone just blasting a load of human sewage, you know? It's going to give you cholera. It's really going to knock you out.
Heart news now, and this is the news that AI is better at analysing cardiac function when compared with humans, which is exciting. They finally made AI that's better than doctors at figuring out if you're having a heart attack. Tiff? Would you trust an AI doctor to touch your chest?
Would I rather get felt up by a machine? Maybe. Machines are better than us. I don't believe that's true. I'm a romantic, so I think I can diagnose what the heart wants better than any machine. You know, just point me at the person, I'll tell you. Give me a famous person, I'll tell you what their heart wants. Leonardo DiCaprio, to recapture his youth. Give me other ones, I will tell you. I think I'm the best person to judge what's wrong with someone's heart, not a machine.
Elon Musk.
What does his heart want?
Yeah, genuinely.
His heart wants adoration and respect. And he's gone all the wrong ways about it, to be honest.
Yeah, how could have Elon like gained respect in a way that's not cringe? Because he seems to lean into the cringe. He's very into Rick and Morty. And in memes that were out 7 years ago. Like, how does... For a man that's so rich, his access to fresh memes is so... he could have a whole meme factory underneath him, people just shitposting, like monkeys on a typewriter. I mean, that is essentially what shitposting is. And yet, you know, all of them are very unfresh. The memes are unfresh. So, okay, I mean, that's good. So he wants adoration. That's interesting.
I think he wants recognition maybe for the stuff he's doing because, you know, there may have been exciting innovations. And I think maybe he took on a job with Twitter that he was not prepared for. We've all done an Edinburgh when we haven't written a show. What's happened with Elon Musk and Twitter? He's just gone, oh, I'll have this ready by the time August comes round. And it wasn't.
Well, I mean, this is one of the central tenets of the software kind of boom is this fail fast and iterate quickly and move fast and break things and, you know, shake things up and turn them upside down and fire everyone and like disrupt. The problem is that doesn't work as well as you would like if the thing that you're experimenting on and shaking up and turning upside down and disrupting is full of people, which social media is, and also cars. So... Two of his favourite things have people in them. So it's very hard to have a kind of a high failure rate, which is kind of part of the ethos of the whole thing, if it's making people's lives significantly shitter while you do that.
The thing about this AI thing is interesting that they're
when someone will do an experiment to see whether your job would be done better than AI, I don't like that. That seems threatening. Do you know what I mean? Like, they should do that with Elon Musk. See if I think an AI algorithm would be better at doing their job than Elon Musk. Like, they'd get it wrong sometimes, but like they should test whether billionaires could keep their jobs against AI, because heart doctors, like, that's the job that you have to study for, you know, like 15 years at least. And I just don't like these vibes of taking jobs off humans.
These machines coming over here, taking our jobs.
They can't do comedy. Like, that's a thing AI cannot do yet. They will eventually. But at the moment, like, I've tried to get AI to write jokes. I've done it for The Gargle before, and it's not possible. And I felt a bit safer. But it's scary what other aspects of jobs they're going into.
Just ChatGP, can that try and do stand-up?
Well, I've asked ChatGP to, like, write me a blurb for my Edinburgh show because I was not arsed doing it. And it didn't... Do you know what it did? It said, like...
I think it's ChatGPT, just...
Oh, no.
Unless you're using a knockoff version.
No. Mine's ChatGP. I phone my doctor. He tells me what to say. I write it down.
I think, like, it was saying that, like, she's a female comedian and we'll talk about periods. And it was very...
Sorry, I should have laughed so much at that.
I was like, who's feeding you this information? And then I was like, I probably will. I felt read to filth by ChatGPT. Isn't that what it is?
I'm so not worried about AI achieving sentience and taking over the world. I'm worried about that AI will not achieve sentience and we will continue to pour our liquid brains into that algorithm forever in return for these weird little monkey brain dopamine hits, just like rewards for little pieces of what seem like information that some part of our hindbrain is going, this will keep me alive, but now it's just like pseudoscientific nonsense that sounds like a fact and we can't check it because all of our tools to check things are now run by AI and it's completely untrustworthy. That's what I'm afraid of.
Do you think we'd be better off as bees? Like, I felt sorry for the bees. But now I'm like, that's quite a nice life.
That brings us to the end of this week's episode/edition of The Gargle. I'm flipping through the ads at the back. Tiff, have you got anything to plug?
I'm plugging my tour. It starts in May. It's all over the UK for my show Sexy Brain. You can get the dates off my website, which they're all listed there now, tiffstevenson.co.uk. But the website itself sort of hasn't been updated since Brexit. So just bear that in mind. It really needs an update. But I would love you to come to the shows or come and find me on Instagram or Twitter, all the usual places. Tiff Stevenson Comic.
Go see Sexy Brain. I have seen it. It is very good.
And you should also listen to my podcast on the Bugle Network, Catharsis. Both of you have been guests on it. It's a good podcast.
Yes, I loved it.
So we've got some cool upcoming episodes. So check that out. Give us a rating. Love us.
And Alison, have you got anything to plug?
So I have about two shows left on my tour. They're both in June. One is in Cardiff. One is in Southampton. I'm doing a show on May 10th in Soho Theatre. It's called Wet. And it's probably... I think it is going to be the last time that I do this show in London. And I'm going to be doing a new show called Soup. And that's on in the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. You can get tickets now in Monkey Barrel. It's going to be at 1:25, I think. And I'm just doing some work in progresses around London. I have podcasts and all that stuff as well. Go to Instagram. There's a little link tree there. And that's way better than my website because I have not updated it. Yeah, go see it and have a lovely day. Thank you. And I genuinely have to say, Alice, and say Tiff will back me up on this, the listeners, they're amazing gig goers, and really I'm thankful for being on this podcast because it's got people in to watch, and yeah, thank you.
Well, thank you, all of the listeners, for coming out and supporting all of our magnificent guest editors. I'd also like to say thank you to our contributing editors, which is to say our roving reporters, C-Lips, who sent in both the sentient bees and crying plants stories this week, is our MVP. So if you'd like to tweet us any stories you think you'd like to see on The Gargle, tweet us at HelloGarglers. You can find me online at patreon.com/AliceFraser, where I do my weekly writers' meetings and workshops, as well as my weekly Tea with Alice salons. This is a Bugle podcast and Alice Fraser production. Your editor is Ped Hunter. Your executive producer is Chris Skinner. I'll talk to you again next week.
You can listen to other programs from The Bugle, including The Bugle, Catharsis, Tiny Revolutions, Top Stories, and The Gargle, wherever you find your podcasts.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.